you very much for being so prompt and the return. I'm going to make sure we whiz through this so we've got more time for questions and answers and we can have a proper chat. Okay, so when we're ready, we'll go forward. Okay. This is one option. I'm being absolutely serious with you. This is one option. If you have had the time to look at what was called the Rendlesham incident or RAF Bentwaters, for those of you who do know it, just forgive me if I very, very briefly go through for those who don't. I'll tell you what, why don't I not judge you? How many of you are familiar with the situation at RAF Bentwaters? Fantastic. 35% of you. Right, okay. It's well known that a triangular craft arrived. It's well known that there was some interaction between the crew, which are American, on the ground, and this craft. What's not fully appreciated is the importance of it. Those that do know refuse to speak, but say that it was Britain's Roswell. And there are many, many views on this, and again, I don't want to start an argument, I really don't. But I want you to imagine another timeline, like this Earth, where you have an elite group and everybody else. Who's read H.G. Wells, The Time Machine? Okay, thank you. Did you know that he was a member of the Illuminati? That might surprise you. And in his book, he's doing what they always do, which is hide the information in plain sight. So if you haven't read The Time Machine, read it. Really, read it. It was forced reading in my house. I read it when I was 12. One timeline foresees the elite wiping out the vast majority of the people on the planet and the elite then disappear into underground bunkers. You will know from my previous conferences that I attended a conference in Marlborough in South England last year, was it, or the year before, I don't remember, and a very interesting gentleman made me an offer where I could have a bunker if I wanted at no cost, and bodyguards, etc., etc. And this was a genuine offer, and this wasn't a joke, this was a genuine offer from a lord. And he was doing it because he felt that I was at risk, that I was worth protecting. But it's the concept. The concept is, we'll go and hide underground, and everything will be fine. Well, let's imagine on this timeline that's exactly what happens. But the people on the surface of the planet aren't wiped out. And they survive in some shape or form. So it sounds like a sort of doomsday film, doesn't it? Imagine those that are underground begin to fail. And then one arm of the grey race turns up and says, we'd like to offer you some cloning because that'll help you. And over a short period of time, just thousands of years, the human forms under the ground end up like the end product there, the traditional grey that you're aware of. But the ones on the surface don't. They are somewhat different. Imagine then that these creatures are full of remorse for turning their back on humanity, and then see in the timeline 1980 a potential nuclear war. And it amazes me how the media have kept this from everybody. 1980, we were closer to nuclear war than we ever were in any other time in our history. So forget the Bay of Pigs or any of the situations that we might think of in the 60s and 70s. But this was the greatest time, and it's referred to as a click. You have different grades of nuclear warning, and we were one click away from nuclear launch, literally. So were the Russians. This was the time when all the Greenham Common demonstrations were taking place. Well, let's imagine that a particular race, which was human at one point and is now very grey, decides that it wants to stop that. So it comes back 26,000 years from the future and arrives. And RF Benhoysers, it is reported by the military, and I fully accept that, that the targeting codes for the nuclear warheads were scrambled. And at the same time that happened, a craft turned up in the Ukraine, which was also where their nuclear weapons were held, and scrambled their codes. Had we gone to nuclear launch, we wouldn't have been in a position to have done it effectively. Now, what that means is nobody launches a nuclear attack unless they think they can win. You just don't do it. And this meant that no sides could win. So we need to understand what happened. Somebody, and I think you'll know this person particularly, touched the spacecraft. It's a triangular craft. Greys usually fly spacecraft of that triangular shape. The black triangular ones are either back-engineered grey technology with human pilots, or they are greys themselves in them. Touched it, and the craft then went into the future. The DNA of the person who touched it was then taken, re-engineered, and the grey race changed into Nordics. This is where it gets very confusing. This is why you will never ever find reptilians and Nordics on any facility. It just won't get along with each other, because the Nordics have retained their humanity, whereas the grey race did not. So reptilians have no problem with greys, but they have a lot of problem with Nordics. So do we see Nordics as benevolent? Yes, actually, by and large we do. Do we see greys as a problem? Yes, they are, by and large. Can't blanket them all, but most of them. So this is one possibility that the elite are looking at. But they don't like the idea because they know that there's a potential for them to be wiped out.
Next one, please. Oh, backwards. You got too excited. That's it.
There's another one. This is the one that we're talking about, transhumanism. It's being seen as a form of evolution. You started as a monkey, you progressed to the position that you're in now, but there's a better way. There's a much more efficient way, a way that you don't die. You'll be stronger, more powerful, you'll think more. And so this is really the plan. And I think that unless something changes very dramatically, children in schools in the next few years would start to be given this sort of propaganda. That's why it must never happen. I've taken this from David Icke's site. You know, I've always gone on and said how much I respect David Icke. You know, he put himself on the block for whatever we may say now. The point of the matter was that he was very brave and did what he did. And he's put it here, he said, I started out with my iPad, and then Google Glass, and the Apple Watch, and onto the microchip, the next came. Now, Cameron, who made the Terminator films, you know from myself and other commentators, how the Terminator 2 film gave you the warning of 9/11, and other films have as well. So we know that Cameron was receiving information either knowingly or unknowingly. So here we have a very, very clear warning in the same film to tell you what the object is. Next one, please. Star Trek, same principle. And we're being shown very clearly that this is something that you can't beat. It's quite unusual, because with every Star Trek series or episode, usually the good guys win. But we are left, in the episodes I've seen, realizing or believing that this is inevitable, that they can't actually stop it. And that's, I think, is a very insidious thought to start to spread in people. And although these two guys look particularly ugly, the principle is the same. It's a in-between version. Half human, half something else. That's not the end product. And again, he's basically saying that the technological drip, drip, drip was the end of human thought. So this is the Michelangelo, very well-known painting that's taken it on. You see, somebody of my age can remember a time before calculators, I can remember a time before sat navs. I can remember a time before mobile phones, cell phones. I can remember a time before computers became really strong. And you had to think for yourself. You know, this is a true story, and it's a good 4 or 5 years old of a woman who found herself in front of the judge, prosecuted, because she was driving and the sat-nav said turn left, and she did turn left and found herself driving on a railroad or railway line. In other words, she was actually driving on the sleepers of the train, of the track. And when she was prosecuted, she said, but the sat-nav told me to turn left. And do you know, the magistrate let her off. Okay? When I learned to drive, I had an atlas. Okay, but if you took sat-navs away from everyone, including myself now, I think we would struggle to find somewhere. And that's how it's insidious in a very short period of time. If you're a supermarket, you order your food at 10 o'clock at night, and the next morning at 5 a.m. it's delivered. So what happens if someone turns the power off? That order doesn't come through. And if that order doesn't come through, there's no food in the supermarket. We are becoming very, very dependent on technology. In the Second World War, a number of cities in this country were bombed. London was one of the principal cities. It didn't give in. The Nazis were absolutely astounded, couldn't understand. And the reason was that your brother, your sister, your uncle, your auntie all lived in the same street or the street opposite. And you helped each other, and you remembered the time in the 30s when there was no refrigerators, so you knew how to look after food, you could prepare food. And then after the war, everyone was forcibly moved around. They weren't brought back again. That was a key point. So uncles and aunties were moved to different parts, but never brought back. If the same thing occurred now, the vast majority of people would not be able to survive.
Next one.
Jade Helm. We're aware of Jade Helm because we've been listening and watching to this movement of troops literally around the part of America, particularly Texas and California, because both governors of those states are incredibly anti the federal government. Those of you who've read any of my newsletters know that Texan governor wrote to Obama asking for his portion of the gold back. Because we have a different form of law in this country, we don't understand the system. In America, all the states are entitled to a portion of gold from the Federal Reserve, and they can then ask for their portion back, and they have asked. It's just under $1 billion. There's no chance of them getting it, but they've asked for it, because although publicly they're saying they don't want their own currency, I know they do, and it would be called the Lone Star, because they believe the American dollar is on the verge of collapse, and therefore they want Texans to have a gold-backed currency. The California governor is going down the same road. That's why you mentioned HAARP. HAARP's been used against California, has done for a long time. The Texans and the Californians they share a lot in common. They won't be pushed around. The Texans dig their heels in and draw their six-shooters. The Californians just shrug their shoulders and walk away. So they're very hard to control. So these are the two states that Jade Helm was particularly targeted on. But there's something else about Jade Helm. Okay. I'm going to just read this. It's the Joint Assistance for Development and Execution, JADE. Joint Assistant for Development and Execution. JADE is a US military system used for planning the deployment of military forces in crisis situations. The US military developed this automated planning software system in order to expedite the creation of the detailed planning needed to deploy military forces for an operation. JADE uses artificial intelligence. I'll just read that again. JADE uses artificial intelligence technology, combining user input, a knowledge base of stored plans and suggestions by the system, to provide the ability to develop large-scale and complex plans. In other words, the reason it was called Jade Helm was because it was linked in to an artificial intelligence computer that was learning from the public's response. So yes, these troops went around and they were designed to frighten people, but also to make the military feel that they were separate from the public. But the real reason was that an artificial intelligent learning computer was trying to understand people's response and actions. So in other words, what we would do in the old days of a war game, but this is much more advanced than that. So understand that J-Helm is literally an artificial intelligence tendril trying to make its way again into humanity. Right, I'm just going to quickly think about these computers before I go on to this one. Supercomputers are small computers, basically, that can be networked together, but not networked as we understand it. Actually, like Lego bricks. Think of Lego bricks all put together, and you make a supercomputer. One of the companies involved in these supercomputers is a company called Monarch. And you must understand that Monarch is a key term used in mind control programming, the Monarch butterfly. So here we have a very, very clear indication that the same group of people have many fingers in pies. Right, this is something now we're going to call, called Intelligent Streets. I talked about this 2 years ago. IntelliStreets is actually somewhere in the Midlands that's trialing it. These are streetlights that are intelligent. New York has organized all 680,000 streetlights to be changed in the next 5 years. These streetlights, on the positive side, are very clever, because when the sun rises at one side, one set of lights automatically turns off and keeps the lights on the dark side, and then when the sun comes over or what have you. But they wouldn't do it for that. What they've done it for is that they are all Wi-Fi connected. Each one will have a camera to watch you. Each one will have a microphone to talk to you and a microphone to receive information from you. So somebody won't be a person, it will all be computerized. You imagine you've got your chip in your body. You walk down the street to get your pint of milk or whatever it is, and each time you pass the lamppost, it will know who you are, and if it needs to shout orders at you, it will do so. Now, this particular one, when these were being sold, the Department of Homeland Security in America became very interested because they saw the advantage of it. So please be aware that this intelligent street lighting is just being used as a con to sell to local authorities to say to them that it's cheap running, when it's not. It's all about controlling you and knowing where you go. Okay, next one. You've seen the new LED lights, but not the ones that we saw about 3-4 years ago that they suddenly will try to sell off and give away cheap. And there's a new breed of LED lights. They're very expensive. They cost between £10 and £15 each. But do you know that many of them are Wi-Fi enabled? That when you put an ordinary LED bulb, these ones, into your socket, it would be possible for that to be a Wi-Fi transmitter. And the plan is that you won't need a home hub. You will just actually be able to run them off your LED. There's a chip in them will do that. And that seems all fine and dandy, except we know that you can piggyback Wi-Fi with something much more insidious. And I've just termed this a singing light bulb. Can you press the next button for me? This is a light bulb. It's LED. You put it in your room, and then you can play tunes on it. If you want, how exciting is that? So you don't need your iPhone or any other device. You just send the message to the light bulb and it will play the music for you. So you could have one music in the loo, one music in the bath bedroom, and etc., etc. So this is how they're trying to get you to buy these things. A Wi-Fi enabled singing light bulb. Please be aware that these are dangerous. Right, there's been so much on CERN, and the big question is, did it or didn't it stop working? And I wanted to bring something to your attention. A number of people genuinely think that CERN is just a device to collide particles. And And I don't want to stand here and argue the toss with that, but I'll just tell you some very interesting things about CERN, which at the end of it you realise it isn't just a particle collider. In 1952, 11 European countries formed the Council European Research Nuclear, CERN. Sir Tim Berners-Lee predominantly takes the credit for inventing the World Wide Web, and he was based at CERN. We'll come back to that. Officially, CERN cost $8 billion to build. The UK provides £34 million a year towards this, and it has a staff of 10,000. Now, forgive me, but whenever I play a game of Monopoly at home, I always say, what do I get for this? If I give you Park Lane, what will you give me back for it? That's what you do in Monopoly, isn't it? That's what you do on this planet. So why would countries provide upwards of $8 billion but get nothing back for it? Why is Britain giving £34 million a year and getting nothing back for it? The reality is they have no choice. They are being told to do it.
Okay, this one.
Right, so Bernard Lee, a British scientist at CERN, this is the official line, by the way, invented the World Wide Web in 1989. The web was originally conceived and developed to meet the demand for automatic information sharing between scientists in universities and institutions around the world. What is true is the first website was made at CERN. The very first website, and it talked about what the web was. But that's the official line that they push out to the public. The reality is that the ARPANET was actually conceived in the late 50s, but actually got running in 1965-66. And there are only two facilities in the world that had this early net, and that was Pentagon and CERN. The Pentagon had it because they feared that a Cold War nuclear strike would take out all their communication systems, and they wanted a secure way of communicating. So it was the ARPANET. If you work in a local authority or a big corporation, you'll know it as the intranet. So this is a net that just is in-house. So in 1965, the ARPANET was created. So, you know, 1989, when the internet was supposedly worked out with the World Wide Web, this is something that they'd had a long time beforehand, but they were just ready to give it out. But the reason I'm making the point is not about the net, it's where. So the Pentagon, we would expect the Pentagon to have it, but you really wouldn't expect a facility at CERN to have it. So we're beginning now to understand the importance of this building. Next one, please. From January, the 1st of next year, this is going to be the Director General of CERN. So she's not in post yet, so you've got a sneak preview. Fabiola Ghianti, Director General, and she's been chosen to head it up. She's worked for the United Nations, and she did work for one of the Pentagon contractors. Next picture, please. She has a plan, or she is acting on a plan, and that's to increase the number of member countries who are paying for CERN. And she's got a real good idea. She thinks that all countries should pay a percentage of their national income. So the more money and more population, the more you pay. She oversees a working, she will do in January, an over budget of $1.3 billion per annum. And it's currently overspent by $230 million. And what organisations do you know of that have that sort of money and overspend the $230 million and nobody is slapping around the face with a wet fish? Next one. All right, moving on quickly. I wanted to talk about the past. I have mentioned this before, but people just shake their heads and say, oh yeah, I know about that. But they don't really understand how our world was changed at the end of the Second World War. Germany lost the war. But the Nazis didn't. Let's get it right. Germany lost the Second World War, but the Nazis didn't. So Fourth Reich. So how is it impacting on corporations, politics, and the military? I'm going to very quickly go through this now. Do you know that Coca-Cola was sold to both the Germans and the Americans during the Second World War? So here's an American company selling to Germans who are killing Americans or about to. And then in 1941, syrup ran out in Germany. I'm going to make you laugh now. So what did Coca-Cola do? It created another drink called Fanta, which was just for Germans. So whenever you go and have a bottle of Fanta, that was created by Coca-Cola for the Germans because they couldn't make Coca-Cola in Germany anymore because they had no syrup. So Fanta, lovely. Ford, obviously, they made trucks for everybody. Anybody who'd buy them, whether they were killing each other, didn't matter. Standard Oil, think about the Bushes, lots of connections there. When Standard Oil got broken up, it was ExxonMobil, Chevron and BP. And then Chase Manhattan Bank. Chase Manhattan Bank was very, very heavily supporting Adolf Hitler. VW, we know about VW, but what we don't know is why it's called the Beetle. Who knows why the VW is called the Beetle? One person, go give it a go. See, if I'd had another present, you'd have got it. Adolf Hitler actually said to the guys at VW, I want this car, because that was going to be the people's car, I want this car to be streamlined like a black glossy Beetle. And that's exactly what Hitler said, and that's where you get the word Beetle from. Kodak, not very good at all. They had slave labor actually working in their factories, not just Jews, but gypsies, Russians, anyone who wasn't part of Hitler's plan, trade unionists. So Kodak have a very difficult history there. And although it's spelled differently, it's Alliance Insurance. Have you heard of Alliance Insurance? Well, what they did was they insured lots of people. And then when they got bumped off by the Nazis, they didn't pay the insurance to the families, they gave it to the Nazi party. So what we need to understand is how organisations have rebranded themselves. You know, I'm not going to get into a debate about this killing and that killing, it's how these organisations have survived and hidden, with connivance with lots of other people, the truth, so that we go into a shop and buy something and are totally unaware of the history. Next one, please. Right, okay. Those of you who think about Russell Brand, there's two schools of thought. I've never met Russell Brand, seemed a nice man to me. For the GQ Men of the Year Award 2013, does anybody remember that? It's so long ago, we probably don't remember it. But I'll tell you.
I'm going to move over here from it, just for this one.
All right, so this is taken from the newspaper. I've just copied from the newspaper. Never one to hold back his comments, Brand stunned the players in the British fashion industry with the line, any of you who know a little bit about history and fashion will know that Hugo Boss made the uniforms for the Nazis. Okay, so when have you seen in West End of London or major shops, Hugo Boss made SS uniforms, the SD uniforms and the general Nazi party uniforms, of which they have apologised. Let me just make that clear. And once Russell Brand had shocked the crowd, he just kept on going, saying the Nazis did have flaws, but you know, they did look effing fantastic, let's face it, while they were killing people on the basis of their religion and sexuality. And he was physically manhandled, this is Russell, and thrown out of the actual award ceremony because he'd spoken the truth. Okay, he should have used the effing word, but he was literally thrown out. Okay, next one, please. All right, I'm sorry there's no presents, but what is the connection between, you've got obviously Hitler, we know Hitler is, but this is Goebbels' wife and the children. What's the link with the man on the left? I should have bought a present, I'd go home with it. Alright, this is the guy who owned a very important company. So, do the next one, and we'll come back to that one. This is a book written by Edwin Black about IBM, and it shows lots of figures and numbers.
You go back, please. Thanks.
Right.
IBM, weren't they the company that counted all the deaths in the death camps?
Yes, IBM provided all the counting machines not just for the camps, but literally everything for the Nazi Party. But the point here is that Magda Goebbels was married to this guy on the left, at the head of IBM, and left him to go and marry Goebbels. So what I'm trying to show you is how closely connected elite families are. And so IBM obviously is still a very, very powerful company. Next one, please. We'll go quickly across that one. Right, family dynasty behind the BMW. This is the motor car. It admits to using 50,000 slave labourers during the Nazi time. That's why Jews and Russians generally don't want BMW cars. Gunther Quad was a member of the Nazi Party and benefited from its Aryanization program by taking over Jewish firms. His wife Magda Rachel later divorced him and married Joseph Goebbels and died in 1945. So what we can see is that even in modern times after the war, these families still retain the power. Nobody came to them and said, you need to make reparations, you need to say sorry. What happens is that somebody writes a book, or somebody goes on television, or Russell Brand does something, then the media get hold of it, and then these organisations know, we better do something about this. So, you know, it's such a shame that people have to be dragged kicking and screaming and just make the apology and be done with it. Next one. Who knows who this is? Oh, really should have brought presents. Hermann Oberth. Hermann Oberth was actually a very, very, very advanced German scientist during the Third Reich, and von Braun actually was his assistant. Hermann Oberth was one of the leading rocket minds in Germany. Next one, please. And he actually said, and this is his quote when asked, "We cannot take the credit for our record advancement in certain scientific fields alone. We have been helped." And the interviewer asked him, "Well, who's helped?" And he replied, "The people of other worlds." Hermann Oberth was absolutely adamant that there were aliens and alien spacecraft. Next one, please. There's another quote from him. "It is my thesis that flying saucers are real and that they are spaceships from another solar system. There is no doubt in my mind that these objects are interplanetary craft of some sort. I and my colleagues are confident that they do not originate in our solar system." Now that's really important, because what he's saying here is these are not ETs. These are not extraterrestrials that are travelling to us in real time. These are extra dimensionals coming from outside of our reality. Next one, please. Okay, and here in Britain, we don't know him, we don't talk about him, but of course South America played host to the Nazis and still does, and they're very happy to push it. So look, there's a picture on a stamp of Paraguay with the Starship Enterprise. Why would you put the Starship Enterprise next to Hermann Oberth, who is a professor of rockets? They have just put a little rocket in the corner there just to keep it light. So somebody knows something, don't they? The South Americans are always more prepared, a little bit like the Russians actually, more prepared to be a bit more open. Next one, please. All right, von Braun. Here's a gentleman who really rebranded himself very successfully. Let's look at the history. He says, and I quote, "I joined the National Socialist Deutsche Arbeiterpartei in 1939. That's bullshit. I know, for my mother told me that he joined in November the 12th, 1937, and he was party number 5,730,692. He became the second lieutenant in the SS in 1940, and he was SS member 185,068. In 1944, he was promoted to a major. In 1943, he spoke about how badly the war was going and that he wanted to make a spaceship. He wanted to make a spaceship. And he was arrested by the Sicherheitsdienst, which is the German military police, don't get confused with the Gestapo, in 1944, but by a personal order of Adolf Hitler, he was released because he was so important. And towards the end of the war, SS General Kammler, who was the one that did the deal with the Americans to provide all the German scientists in return for certain other favours, and the SS Guard moved to Obergrumme. Do you want to just, next one. Here he is, that's von Braun. They're not SS, so we're all right with that picture. These are just general Wehrmacht German officers. It's all jolly fine, that. Next one. Okay, what actually happened was, when the deal was done, and, you know, I never believed that Hitler died in a bunker. My mother told me he didn't die. My grandfather told me he didn't die. But everyone else seems to tell me he did die. But the deal, as far as I'm concerned, was that in order to gain certain favours, a lot of the money that had been looted was given to the Americans, and the SS Guard, whose pure job was to shoot all the scientists if the Allies got near, suddenly just melted away, and the scientists fell into the hands of the Americans. A British intelligence guy, but he was a rocket engineer called Snell, interrogated von Braun for one day, because they knew once the Americans got him, the British would never have any information from the Yanks at all. Snell went on to become the chief designer of Rolls-Royce, and he made the Concorde engines. He designed the engines of Concorde. That's how advanced he was. And he actually got to interrogate von Braun for half a day. When the Americans got von Braun, they decided he was so important, they'd have to forgive him everything he'd done and make an American citizen out of him. But in order to do that, have to change the record, because on his intelligence report of Nazi involvement, it said, is a committed Nazi. Is a committed Nazi. It's before computers. So the typing was altered, is not a committed Nazi. That's God's honest truth. And so that meant, oh, that's okay. He was never a committed Nazi. We can take him. So he became an American citizen, and he worked at missile bases, and then went on to work at NASA. 1952, he was on the Mars project. 1952, Mars project. He became a NASA employee, and he worked his way up to director. He was the very first director of NASA from 1960 to 1970. And he wrote a book about space travel, and it was turned down by 18 publishing houses. You can imagine, the phone's ringing. You can't publish from this man, we don't want it. Can you imagine the head of NASA and his book being turned down? 18 publishing houses, next one please. The man wanted to tell something. Here's his ID, not from NASA, but from the rocket missile base where he actually was originally. So he's an American, he's not a German now. Next one please. Here he is in the stage with the Saturn V rocket, that's the big one behind him. He designed the Saturn V rocket that allegedly went to the moon. Next one. And, yep, he's with President JFK, so you can see the level this man was working at. Next one. And this is 1970, just a few weeks before he retired to go on to work with Fairchild and other defence contractors, and the last of his one there. So what we have a intellect right across the board into the multinationals. We have a military system. Before America and Britain predominantly discovered the underground bases, only Germany understood the use of deep underground bases. Once the Americans had seen what the Germans could do, then they created their own huge tunnel networks. So we have a mindset, we have a political will, we have a concept of I'm better than you. I am better than you. That is the concept that these people have. Next one, please. Okay, so von Braun was the director of NASA. So what was going on there? And this is a guy called Albert M. Chomp, Deputy Public Relations Director, National Aeronautics, blah, 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 blah. So he was one of the personnel guys there, and he was actually in charge of Blue Book, those of you who know that. And he basically saying, look, spaceships are real. Now, his director was saying there's no such thing as UFOs, but his deputy is saying, yes, there is. So we can't say, oh, this is a deliberate leaking of information, because you wouldn't have someone at one level saying it was and someone it wasn't. This is someone whose conscience has played so much on him that he's got to come out and say it. Next one, please. Okay, very good, quite a quick look. I did cover this a few years ago, and I just want to go over it because it's very important. This is an aeroplane called the DH-108. When Germany fell, the Americans went and grabbed all the technology they could, and they didn't want the British to have it. They really didn't want anyone else to have it. And there was one company called de Havilland that had security connections, and the chief engineer of de Havilland was allowed to come out and have a look at some of these airplanes before they were thrown off. Next one, please. This is an aircraft they created. Unfortunately, it killed three people, three test pilots, but it was the fastest aircraft, not to be confused with a jet airplane, it was the fastest aircraft probably in the world, 1947. But although the technology was there, the Americans leant on the British and said, no, you can't have anything better than us. Scrap it. Don't support it. So the government never funded it. It was all funded by private investment, which went nowhere. Next one. It was always said that it was copied from the Comet. This is the German one. That's not actually a jet aeroplane. It was a rocket-powered aeroplane. And the public have been told that what you've just seen was copied from this one. Whereas my mother, when she was working on the Operation Paperclip documents back in the 70s, said, and my grandfather said as well, that was nonsense. This one was, this guy, I think his name is Brown, he's a flight captain, and on orders directly from Winston Churchill, just weeks after the end of the war, he flew out and flew one of these Comet aircraft. So whatever you're told about Winston Churchill, and I got a lot of stick for saying that Winston Churchill was a good man. What I actually said was Winston Churchill was the right man at the right time and the right place. And lots of people have said, well, Churchill was a bad man. Well, I can't say that, because I know that Churchill, on one hand, was having to bend with the Americans, but on another hand, he was trying to put Britain into a strong position. So he actually sent this man out directly to try and fly one of these aircraft to see if we could learn anything from it. Next one, please. This is the aircraft. There's a model on here, of course, that it was copied from. They both have 45 degrees wing sweep. The intakes are both at the roots where the wing joins the nose. And this was the real aircraft that the de Havilland plane was copied on, not the Comet. This is Messerschmitt. There's a reason why all this is hidden. We're coming on to it. Right, when the Americans reached Germany, they found the world's only wind tunnel capable of Mach 5.1. God, 1945 and the Germans had a wind tunnel Mach 5.1. That's faster than any jet aeroplane that we have conventionally. They recovered 50 tons of documents about aircraft engines. And think a double-decker bus is 5 tons. 50 tons of documents. 1,500 tons of aircraft and rocket documents. 985,000 separate documents about space travel and rocket travel and aircraft. And in May 1945, the war hadn't yet ended properly, Kensington Palace Gardens in London and 32 Branston Square, there you are, I've given an address away there, 32 Branston Square, Willy Messerschmitt, Ernst Heinkel, Alexander Lipschitz, and Kurt Tank of Focke Wulf were all there before Hitler had been killed in his bunker, meeting and talking about their technology and what deals they could do with the British and the Americans. So while people were going around with their ration books, wondering what was happening, these people were in the most plush part of London. This is the reality. There were more American intelligence members of the army looking for scientists than war criminals. All the Americans wanted was technology because they wanted their country to dominate the world. Okay, next one. Okay, very, very quickly before we go on to have a chat and do some questions. I've finished with this. I did this at Watford. I'm doing it again now. This is Damien McBride. I'll read it because it's too small. Damien McBride, the only man in government in this country in recent years to come out and tell you the truth. He was the key advisor to Gordon Brown when Gordon Brown was Prime Minister. He was a financial advisor. And a few months back, when it looked like the Chinese were about to collapse and our economy was about to collapse in October time, he tweeted, and he tweeted, advice on the looming crash. Number one, get hard cash in a safe place now. Don't assume banks and cash points will be open or bank cards will work. Next tweet. Crash advice number two. Do you have enough bottled water, tinned goods and other essentials at home to live a month indoors? If not, get shopping. And then the final tweet. Crash advice number three. Agree a rally point with your loved ones in case transport and communication gets cut off somewhere where you can all head to. So here's a guy who was advising the Prime Minister, who then actually tweets messages publicly trying to warn you. And this guy doesn't work for David Icke. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know us. This is a man of a very 3D world who foresees a looming situation. And I've said to everybody, if you can afford 3 weeks worth of food and bottled water, there's no harm in doing it. Okay, this was always going to be a different sort of presentation because it was the end of the year, and I wanted to really bring home to you that the situation you're facing is not reptilians, although they could be a pain in the bum. It is actually artificial intelligence. And we are being manipulated while we talk and sit and move. And it's done in such a clever way that we actually think it's for our benefit. So I want you all to be aware of it. And I don't want to end on a negative note. The point is that we're humans. We're still here. We haven't been changed. We haven't been corrupted. We haven't given in. We're still here. And the very fact that we have this free will means that we can choose our destiny. We can create our own reality. If we walk around in a sleep, like I'm afraid so many people out in the streets are doing, they will create one sort of reality. Now, I don't want us to be separate. I don't want us to say, well, we'll create our own reality, thank you very much, and you can go and do what you want. Unfortunately, the work is falling to us and to you. You have to create your reality in such a strong way that it holds off these other people. We can't afford to lose anybody who has the potentiality to change and understand. It's about forgiveness. And as I've said before, that there are some people that can be forgiven and some people that cannot be forgiven. But it depends on their crimes. So we are facing a difficult time. And I've said between November that's just gone and March coming, there will be situations. And 2 weeks after I said that warning, which went out on my newsletter and in one radio interview, we had the terrible atrocities in France. And I know that people fed up to the back teeth with the CERN device, but what I will tell you is that those murders were designed to create an energy spike, and CERN was operated at the same time. The object was to elevate the divisional power between the third and the fourth dimension on the back of those murders. The point is that they saw it as a sacrifice. The problem for them, of course, was a dirty sacrifice, and something happened at CERN. Now, I had two conflicting reports that CERN had been knocked out of operation for 10 years and 45% damage to it. That seemed excessive to me. What I am prepared to say is that something occurred at the time of those murders that took CERN out for a short period of time and did create damage. It's working at 10% efficiency at the moment, and it hasn't stopped it, but it's put it back. So CERN is still an issue, but it's no longer the main problem that it was 3 or 4 months ago. So while we'll hear more about CERN, the fact of the matter is, for me, the case is closed on it because it's no longer a threat. Right, I wanted to make it fairly short because I wanted a chance to talk to you. When I did the Connecting Consciousness in Whitby, we ran out of time and I didn't have a chance to converse with you and talk. So I'd like to take any questions now. There's a microphone here, so if you come up and grab the mic, then you can just come up and ask any quick questions.
Hi there. I just recently found out about a substance called organite, which apparently can very powerfully alter bad vibrations. And I was wondering if that might be something that could be used in the context of connecting consciousness, and also something that we could perhaps integrate into our daily lives. I understand it could be beneficial for mobile radiation, also for negative ley lines. I wondered whether Simon wanted to comment on that at all.
Thank you. Yes, a very good friend of mine is currently undergoing tests just with that. What we found is that it needs a metal coil, and the metal coil needs to go clockwise. The metal coil needs to connect with metal at the base of the organite. You put it into a shape, whatever shape it is, and where the metal has been shaved rather than solid bits of metal is better. So you have shape in the bottom of the mould of the organite, you have a coil going clockwise upwards, and then you have some crystals. You need to put some crystals in. I have personally seen tests which had reduces Wi-Fi emissions around that area, EFM, by 50%. So I have a plan with my friend. What we'd love to do is paint it on inside of mobile phones, okay, because it is dangerous. I don't care what anybody says, mobile phones, you know, I'd probably be attacked by the mobile phone company now, I really don't care. But the reality is that if we can paint this on the back of the phone, it will reduce those emissions by a huge amount. It can be placed anywhere. If you think you're being fried and microwaved, you need actually to protect yourself. It's one of the common ways of hurting people. It's not just about psychic attack, it's about providing microwaves, we talked about it earlier. And you know that some of these frequencies are very closely tuned to the human body. So if you run another encoding over the top of that, it is accepted into your body or your mind. You know that if you bounce microwaves off a person, you don't hear a voice in your ears. These people who talk about they heard a voice, you know, some of these gunmen. I went and I was told I heard a voice, I had to go and kill 20 people in the local school. I don't think he's lying. But if you bounce microwaves off someone's skull, the skull acts as a diaphragm, as in a telephone, and that produces sound. So when people say they hear a voice, they are actually hearing the skull acting like a telephone. So these are microwaves that can be fired and used. You know, the films are sort of the Spectre James Bond film, but I think about the little earlier ones where the microphones are hidden in people's rooms and under tables. That's all just nonsense. When the Secret Special Services want to listen to your conversation, all they do is fire a microwave beam at your window, and your window acts as a diaphragm. And so my speaking now, all the molecules in the window are vibrating. So if you hit that with a microwave, it bounces back. At the rate at which those molecules are vibrated, you can actually hear what I'm saying. So you're not being told the level of technology that exists. Of course, then why would they? You know, you have the film where the guy's on the phone in the street and he rings up and he says, you know, I'm going to kill such and such, and the policeman say, keep him on the phone another 10 seconds. Keep him on the phone, we'll find out where he is. As soon as you pick the phone up, they know exactly where you are. But they don't want to tell you that. Okay, next one.
Hello, Simon. This is a bit loud, isn't it? Well, my voice is, but about the Sumerian texts, I was just wondering where you got the information from that or what planet.
Right, are you referring to the Sumerian seals?
Tablet.
Right, thank you. If we look at the Sumerian seals, we see that there are some very big people sitting on chairs and smaller people around them. And we take that to be the gods being the big ones, and then the Adam and Eve, or the little people, the humans. And when we read these texts or translate them, it appears to say that humanity was created by gods. Zachariah Sitchin, who was a very gifted fella, I know he's come under some criticism, but then there were only a handful of people who could translate the Sumerian texts, and I wouldn't criticize somebody if I can't read Sumerian. So when anybody criticizes him, the question to ask them is, do you read Sumerian? And when they say no, then say, well, how can you possibly criticize? But what we can say is that he accurately translated them, but they were placed in the position of the ground incorrectly. So where do I get my information from? Generally, when I stand before a crowd, or I stand before a special group like you, or I'm on radio, television, whatever it might be, I will only go public when I've had information from two independent sources. So one source would be what we would call the security service, and the other source would be off-planet. So if one tells me one thing and one tells me something else, I won't say anything, because there's a confusion there. But in the term of the seals, both sides agree that these were artificially placed. They call them mounds. Archaeologists dig down these ziggurats and they find different cultures or building phases. And it was placed down around about 3,200 years BC, if I can use that term. And it purports to show that humanity was created by gods. And this is part of the plan, isn't it? If you, I include myself in that, and that's then thinking, if you believe that we made you, you will venerate us. You will call us gods. And when we come back to you and return, planet X or whatever it might be, then you'll hail us as gods. So my answer to you is to serve the security service and from off planet. Hi.
Hi, Matt Lewis again, Simon. I just had a question about the Russian aircraft, or at least the aircraft that went down in Russia recently, as to what the agenda was behind it, whether it was another situation with scientists and innocents being killed. So.
Right. No. The previous ones we had, you remember there was the scientist, and then the Rothschild gained all the patent rights to the work that the Chinese were doing on that special stealth technology. In this case, it was payback. Interesting that it was Russian and Chinese connection. And you'd probably be aware that the elite in America are the same elite that are in China, and they hate the Chinese government because the Chinese government has done a deal with the Russians, which could ultimately freeze America out of the decision-making process financially. So we are going to see a number of situations where Chinese and Russian assets are going to be attacked. The chemical plants that were blown up a few weeks ago, again in China. So no, there wasn't a connection like that. It's simply that they want to put pressure on the governments. Okay.
We have the Cyrene, Andromedan, and Pleiadian sources on this planet, so I'll put this planet to the fifth dimension. Apart from healing, what would a Cyrene star seed call that is at what could help humanity and
okay.
Heaven?
Yeah, I got you. That's a good question. If you're a member of Connecting Consciousness, then you will have a clear idea of your star family and what's actually inside your physical body here. And it's very interesting. I often start off and say to people, if you go into a room or a doctor's surgery and you see 10 or 15 people and you look at someone and you think, don't like them. You've never met them before in your life, but you take an instant dislike to them. That's because the frequency of that person is different from yours. That is not to say they're bad. It's to say that the vibrational rate of that individual is so diametrically different from yours that you don't feel it's part of your family. So we have a number of people in this room, and you'll have a great deal of mix within you. And each person has strengths and skills, and each person wants to help in their own way. And so you ask me, what can they do? Well, I can't answer what each group will do, but I can say that each specific family has a skill. So Lyrans are very caring, make good nurses, good doctors, sometimes good teachers, but they don't like control, so they generally wouldn't do that. Maybe they make good vets. Palladians make good inventors. They make people who can be dynamic. Each star family has a group, but the important thing here is that we all work together. It's not where you've come from, but where you're going. In other words, do you have the same shared vision? If you have the same shared vision, it really doesn't matter what you are. There are plenty of people with reptilian souls who actually are decent people and have turned their back on the culture. So we're all here to do what we can do. Some people are here to have a personal learning journey. Some people are here because they felt that they just couldn't stand the injustice on this planet any longer and they had to come here and do something about it, whatever that might have been. And one of the sad things is that I've met with many people who say, I can do more. There must be more I can do. This isn't it. And I honestly, genuinely say to you, you've not missed the bus. If I had hands free, I could show you. Imagine your consciousness level is here. Well, humanity's consciousness level is there. What on earth is the point in trying to create something at this level now? Because it just won't happen. In the next 6 months to 12 months, certain things are going to happen on this planet which will cause human consciousness to rise up in a way it's never risen up before. And when that joins up with our level, suddenly what is looked at as fringe thinking or a bit odd or a bit crazy will become, I'm not going to say the mainstream, but will become much more in tune. Look at Dr. Stephen Greer, look at David Icke. Two men who wish to change people's perception. But both use the system. Richard Gere, Stephen Greer, he actually raised huge amounts of money to make a film, and unfortunately it didn't seem to change anything. And David Icke did better, he created a People's Voice radio TV station, but it was destroyed by people. That's why when I made Creating Consciousness, I didn't use structures. You know, there's no bank manager going to come in, there's no expert going to come in, there's nothing that can be destroyed or taken down. And it's foolish to think that you can create at this moment and level of human consciousness a structure that will survive, because the structure is designed to protect itself. And when a structure detects something that's trying to change it, it will work against it. So that's why I have, in many countries of the world, different groups under the banner of Connecting Consciousness, who are standalone, independent cells of people who will look at the local issues, will look at the wider issues. There's no structure that can be destroyed or taken down. So with David Icke, he was the right man at the right time, but he made his choice slightly too early. Okay, I understand why he did it, and it seems the right thing, but the system just wasn't going to make it work. So we're all here to help. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're sticking a stamp on an envelope or standing up in front here, everyone is equal. Everyone does something. And there are some people that are in very high positions and can't do things publicly but can do things privately. I had a conversation with a director of a multinational corporation in America who told me that they knew that massive changes were coming, and that the corporations, and his particular corporation, was going to have to rebrand and change because otherwise it wouldn't be accepted by humanity. So there are directors in these corporations now ready to change the whole way. All I can say to you is that we have to make sure it's not the wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, you have a situation where the country takes a hit and someone comes along and says, I can save you. And then when you look back, you find it's the same people rebranding themselves. Hence my warning to you. You know, watch out for these people who present themselves to you as the saviours, but the reality is they're just the same people as past.
Okay. Hello, Simon. Before I ask a question, I'd like to thank you very much for your bravery and courage over the years, because you're a great inspiration, certainly to me and I'm sure many other people.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good few months off, but please don't be fat. My question is related partly to something you mentioned about when we die, something stopping our souls from returning to source. And the question is linked a little bit to you two gentlemen as well, has been playing on my mind for a long time. It sounds like three questions, but it's actually one. Who were we before we were born? Why are we here? What happens to us when we die? I know this sounds irrelevant, but if we don't know who we are, then how can we actually fight negativity that's out there?
It's not irrelevant at all. Knowledge is power. I don't mean power in the 3D sense of the word, in terms of taking control of who you are. When... I think we've just been given a message. the nanobots are here. When Divine Source or God created us, we were an energy soul. And I always describe them, I've had the privilege of seeing one, although in the environment I saw it, perhaps it's not a privilege. In old money, it's about 18 inches. It sits in all of your bodies, from here to here. It's elliptical, like an American football, and it's composed of white to clear pulsing light. That is immortal. That is who you are. The physical body just really doesn't matter. Well, it does, but it doesn't matter in terms of the energy soul for its history and its longevity. There is a marriage between your soul and your body. You are one. You experience and feel through your physical body, but you learn through your soul. So when the Divine Creator made you, you were given all the information you needed to decide where you were going to go. We're actually social creatures. Don't want to be on your own. And you decided which physical body, in which reality you would go. If the Divine Creator creates, then you could go to any dimension. So let's choose a Palladian body. So you want to go to the Pleiades, fifth dimension, you go into a Palladian body, you're born, etc., etc. But maybe you start to think, I have got big questions and I can't find the answers here. Where will I go? You can't go up. Actually, it's very difficult to move up. It's very easy to come down. So you're in the fifth dimension, you can come to the fourth, and then ours on the third. But if you do so, you're going to give away your gifts, because if you're fifth dimensional, you have telepathy. So you give away your telepathy to come down here. Why would you do that? Well, you do it for two reasons. We've talked about it a little bit. One is self-learning. Imagine if you're in the fifth dimension, you have telepathy. You have your own internet, your own Google. There are no problems that bother you. You know, if the washing machine breaks down, you just ask Fred, who's in Australia, how did you fix your washing machine? And he just tells you telepathically. I know I'm being a bit blasé, but that's the point. You give that up, you come here, because something you have here that you have nowhere else. And that's emotions and feelings. Because when you have an issue, it is in your face. If you don't have telepathy, you have to use this, the soul, to answer it. And you can either walk away from the problem and never learn, or you can face your problem and learn from it. If you learn from it, 100 years on this planet is equal to 100,000 years anywhere else in terms of learning. It means if you can break the grid, you will actually go back at a higher level and overtake your brother who didn't decide to leave the fifth dimension because he didn't want to give up his telepathy. You will actually have learned more and you'll be more advanced. But the grid is there to stop you doing that. Imagine a really nice person, Marie Curie. So many people who experimented and pushed things forward. Imagine if when they died, and they came back again, but they remembered everything they did. So, oh yes, I finished the experiment at this point, I'll now carry on. In two human lifetimes, you would publicly have cured cancer. You would have publicly cured pollution problems. And the human race would evolve at a most amazing rate. That's why we are artificially mind-wiped. When the physical body dies, your soul tries to escape. It's tricked and conned and brought back again, you're mind-wiped, you start all over again. Except we don't, because some people have past life memories. Some people know stuff. And that's the way it is. And some people are really gifted. They wake up as a child and they just know where they come from, etc. But that was all about a prison planet. This is a prison planet. And if you were to remember what you did in the last lifetime, well, we'd be unstoppable.
I'm just wondering if there was one specific bit of evidence which has convinced you about the presence of extraterrestrial existence. If so, what was it?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Quite happy to take that. I think you're asking me for 3D evidence. I think the greatest evidence, apart from what I've seen with my own eyes in terms of experience of alien craft, alien creatures, was for a period of 7 or 8 years, members of MI5 calling to the flat, which was in Brighton, and having conversations with my mother in front of me, talking about alien artifacts and her job. You've probably seen my previous presentations, and I don't want to have to go over them again, but basically where she typed out documents that related to Paperclip. There was one group of German scientists who were based in what was then West Berlin. So these were Germans who weren't taken by the Russians, who were not taken by the Americans and refused to leave Germany, but because they had committed war crimes, they were actually managed by MI5. So they were stateless, but the West German government couldn't prosecute them because they were technically British subjects. And on a regular basis, one particular guy would turn up and would have discussions with my mother, who was going through her own very difficult understandings of it, and information I was given. For instance, very difficult now because I could be prosecuted, but in 1974, he was talking about Ted Heath and the lost children. I think Ted Heath had a boat called Morning Cloud, and my mother said, "Well, why on earth don't you do something about it?" And he said, "Well, you know, can't, because he's top, very top and very high." So the information that he was being given often many years later came to fruition, and the whole issue of alien technology was literally what can be gained out of it. So my experiences physically in terms of bits of paper, because it was before a computer, was seeing my mother on a weekend sitting at a typewriter typing out documents and then rereading them and thinking, well, this isn't just something I'm experiencing or my mother's experiencing. Here's something that is part of the secret organization who are getting my mother to do the documents. So I think that was grounding for me, because otherwise it would have been my own experiences. But in this way, I actually had this guy who would come regularly, and my mother used to have to go and take the documents, get into a Jaguar and drive down to Brighton railway station and have code words and hand this document or documents over. So for me, it was the fact that I wasn't alone in that perspective. There was this shady secret network. And that, for me, I think kept me grounded and also kept me quiet, because it was made very clear that the certain things that were discussed in that room weren't to be discussed elsewhere. So that's my best answer for you. Okay.
Me again. Thanks for the detailed answer there, Simon. But just the guy who asked about the soul before, in this prison was apparently in, if souls is got good intentions towards all beings, then why would he allow, or she, allow a prison?
Well, that's a really good question. I've always said of Earth humans, they're not stupid, they're naive. Let's talk about Earth humans. If you are created by a divine source and you decide you want to come here first before you do anything else, then you arrive here with no framework, no past soul memory. Therefore, when you are listening to politicians or businessmen or whatever it might be, you tend to believe them. But if you have come from another dimension, then you have what the Americans call a bullshit detector, and you actually say, no, that's not right. That doesn't seem right to me. And so many, many people have accepted what they've been told because they cannot believe that their elders and betters would actually do anything bad to them. You know, I have people in my family who can't believe that people who rise up through politics could do anything bad. Yes, they maybe embezzle and steal money, but, you know, kill people, no, that wouldn't happen. So it's this, you said the word good, when you're a really good person, you can't believe that anybody could be other than that. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is trickery. I'm trying to show you this evening how the agenda of the AI is being done little bit by little bit by little bit, so you don't perceive it. You don't see it as a negative. So it isn't that we've failed. What we've done is we've demonstrated love by saying, we trust you. We'll let you do this. And then we've been shown to put our trust in the wrong way. So then we become guarded. But we must never make the mistake of thinking everybody's bad. What do they say? They're tarring everyone with the same brush. So if you meet 100 people and 99 of them are bad and you meet one good person, well, we've met a good person. If you just blanket everyone, then we are in trouble. So we can't become like them. Else we have lost. So you've got to retain the love. You've got to retain that commitment and that strength and that hope. And that's really important. Because if you believe that you can create something better, that the ideals that you have are far stronger and more beneficial for humanity than anything you read in a government publication, then believe in that. Because if you don't, then you've given up. And you might as well just roll over and let them kick you. No, you're not like that, because that's why you're here today. Okay, and there are many, many, many people who can't bring themselves to come to a meeting like this, but they actually believe. Over the coming months, that's going to change. You know, we're going to see some pretty awful things occurring on the planet, which will make people choose which side of the fence they're on. I know that all of these recordings are watched by certain people. And I keep saying to them, you know, it's not too late, change. And I just talk about, you know, saying about I'm having a little bit of a holiday. And I, for those of you who've heard this, I apologise, but last Christmas Day at 10:30, when I was sending a text to somebody, a message appeared on my phone, not on the sent box, but on the inbox, correcting my grammar. So that was somebody from GCHQ, 10:30, Christmas morning, obviously fed up out of the back of his head. Presumably the wife and kids are at home having Christmas, and his job is to monitor Simon Parkes' mobile phone. So I got a message on my phone, 10:30 Christmas Day, saying in response to something I'd written to somebody else, this is an ungrammatical sentence. Now I know it's British, because the Americans aren't, do beg your pardon, but the Americans are not very good at British grammar. So it had to be GCHQ. So when you understand that the system is that interested, there must be a reason. There must be a reason. So what is that reason? Is it because we can bring change? It has to be, doesn't it? You know, it costs money to monitor my phone. It costs money to watch me. It costs lots of money. And that's all these people seem to be bothered about. So they think they're spending their money wisely. Maybe they are, I don't know. But the reality of the situation is that we have nearly reached the end game. We're nearly there. And some gentleman talking to me tonight saying he was very tired and wanted to leave the planet. Time to go. And there are lots of people who say, I'm fed up with it. I've had enough. It's like hitting your head against a brick wall. You know, I don't know how many times I've been on this planet, but it's just a nightmare. I agree with you. It's a nightmare. But you agreed to come here. Unless you were forced to come here, you came here for a reason. And you can't leave now. I'm going to use blackmail. Because if you leave now, the work you would have done falls to those that are left behind. And we have to carry more work. If you think of a theatre, there are a few actors up on stage. When one of those actors falls down dead or what have you, you have to go to the audience and say, who would like to come up and take this person's place? And if nobody comes up from the audience, that group of actors gets smaller and smaller and smaller until there isn't anybody left. And then when the shutters come down and all the audience are microchipped and they turn around and say, well, how did that happen? Well, because you let it happen. That's why you're here, because you don't want to let it happen. Okay.
I just wanted to ask, do you think humanity is maybe facing some sort of initiation test? Because an initiation, you're faced with an insurmountable obstacle that you know, walk away from or transcend. And we seem to be faced with insurmountable obstacles everywhere.
Humanity has been faced with huge obstacles ever since it crawled. And each time, sort of survived. The important thing is that we this isn't the only planet that wants to move on. It's right across the whole spectrum where planets move up the dimensions. But you can't really have a planet without its population, without its living species coming with it. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. If we accept that the planet has its own consciousness, and we accept that because they want to pour poison chemicals into the underground water, so they must know the planet has a consciousness. If we accept that, and we accept we're on the back of this planet, and we accept that we are intricately connected to the planet, then there must be a reason. It's time to evolve. It's time for humans to move on. Now, whether we pass fleetingly through the fourth dimension and quickly go into the fifth, or whether we struggle through the fourth, I don't know. But what I do know is the initiation that you're talking about there is literally the final hurdle before, hopefully, and I'm saying hopefully, this is the seventh time we've been at this position. This is the seventh time humanity has stood to try to break free. If we break free, then we will see a process of remarkable change. Okay, and there's lots of people who say, oh, well, the reptilians are gone, and all this is gone, but it hasn't gone, because if it had gone, we'd all be free. There's a reduction in the strength of the enemy, but the enemy are still there, they're still in control.
Okay. Any more? Okay.
Yeah. All right, Simon.
Hello.
Hi again. This just a kind of answer to those gentlemen, I'll just come up there and ask you about how I kind of role in this. In the case you read, he said that we agreed to come here. This was all a journey from the very beginning. I know it seems a bum deal, really, doesn't it, really? Because I feel like I want to get off the planet now. And I know that I've done this many, many times and got this far. But the main question is, apparently disclosure was going to happen like now or very soon, when I've heard it's been knocked back. So can you enlighten me on that?
Yes. Cast your minds back when President Obama, on his first term of office, was elected. Within our own industry, there was a great deal of excitement that he was going to actually release information. And that actually was the plan, as it always with these presidents when they come in, and then someone leans on them. Disclosure has been forced on governments. They've had a number of dates given to them that they had to come forward, and each time they've said the population's not ready. If we tell the truth, there will be riots, death, and the whole system will collapse. And that's been accepted and understood, and that's why it's not been pushed. But you're right, another date was given, and this time, you say it's been pushed back, it hasn't. This date has been given and there's been no movement on it. And that combined with a couple of other things have led to the Pope launching the New World Order. You need to understand, this is the final moment. The Pope actually launched the agenda for the New World Order. We talked about the 2020, we're talking about a system whereby all vitamins are taken out of your food, your drugs are not what you think they are, and the object is to control humanity. So this is what they want. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. This is their ideal, their plan. And they have the system and the control, but they don't control your minds. That's the point. That's what they want to do. If they can control your minds, then they can control everything. Because we have free thinkers. The human spirit is indomitable. You know, we're not stupid. And they know that. Whatever they might say or think. Remember what my grandfather used to say. My grandfather used to say that, you know, you need to be, as a people, taken to the toilet because you couldn't even go to the loo yourselves. That's the thinking of the elite. That you can't be given information because you're not able to make those decisions. So we, the special, we went to the special schools and, you know, had all the special upbringing. We'll make those decisions for you because, you know, bless you, you know, salt of the earth, pat you on the head. You can't make those decisions. That's the thinking. Okay, and it's just one step from that to, well, get rid of you. You're just useless. So you need to understand that, that those people you can't actually negotiate with. Okay, that's something that isn't going to happen. So you have to stand firm and strong with yourself. And I know because I meet these people. But I will tell you this, the number of them are changing. A number of them feel that they've been let down, that they haven't had what they've been promised, and they want out. And across the planet, there are things that are occurring. And it's broadly positive. And the big question is, who's going to reach the finishing post first? Okay.
Just third time.
But definitely have to keep the spirits up. There's a lot to live for. I think this disclosure isn't too much of a worry. I'm not sure it will change much. I think possibly the elites are right. People would panic, not us, but the general public would just flip out. What we need to understand is the history of the planet and why it's in such a mess. Like the planet itself, and who tricked them in the first place to create this prison. Because obviously we were tricked, humanity. Souls has allowed it. So there's obviously a purpose for it. And the only thing I can think of is looking in the history books. And you look at the Bible, there's Adam and Eve, and that's an obvious one. Well, Abel and that, so you can put a fence around the earth. Or the Sumerians, back to that, which the Bible's based on. And actually the Sumerians didn't come as gods. They didn't class themselves as gods. They just classed themselves as beings who look exactly like us. And in the Bible it actually says, look, we've created and they look like us. So if there was just one God in the Bible, he wouldn't be talking to himself. So that's where I'm coming from with the Sumerians. So I mean, they've got a big, I think Planet X possibly exists. And I think we were tricked, humanity, but I think there's a purpose for it.
Thank you. No, I think we've agreed that there is a purpose, and we were tricked, and hopefully I've sort of answered that one.
Hi, Simon. Hi. Just coming back to what you were saying about soul earlier, I have heard this thing quite a lot over my life, that certain people, those black magicians, can capture souls, can kind of steal a soul. Is that something you know anything about? Always worried me.
It's incredibly rare. It's not impossible. In most cases, black satanic magicians convince an individual that their soul has been captured. And once that person then buys into that, then they go down a particular program or a route way. I am aware of some technology that exists off planet that can and can be temporary, what we call soul transfer stations, where souls can be taken from a body, placed in another body that I'm very familiar with. But if you hold an energy soul in stasis, as it were, it's a crime against everything, and it's very, very unusual, but can happen. Source allows it to happen because it's free will. When Source creates things, it doesn't actually create good and evil. It just creates. And it that it creates decides its route, and it will either, in our terminology, be either good or evil or indifferent. And so one side sees the other side as, oh, you're good, and the other one, you know. So the reptilians don't see themselves as bad. You have to understand that. The reptilians see themselves as good. We see them as bad because they are bad. Because we're making a judgment about control, power, and murder. Well, that's bad. But they don't see it as bad. So you have to try and look at it from the individual soul's perspective and the physical body it's in. But in terms of capturing, I am aware it's possible, yes. Okay.
Hey, I was just wondering, I believe you've been on alien spacecraft and stuff. I just wondered where they took you and why.
Thank you. What's your name?
Sorry, it's James.
Hello, James. Yes? Why? Well, I could say to you, please watch YouTube. Everybody on this planet has a role to play. And you can either be physically bloodline, or you can be energetically bloodline. And depending on your past history on this planet, dictates what status in their heads you might have. So, for instance, when the emissary of the Knights Templars came to me when Miles Johnson was doing the talk in Marlborough, and I was one of the guest speakers at Marlborough, and the Knights Templar came up to me and said, well, you know, I've been told that you are sacred and you need to be protected, and we're going to offer you, and I did get an independent person to sit in with me, because I wouldn't stand here and tell you that without someone listening in, because it was really interesting. So I was offered armed bodyguards, blacked out armoured cars, and a nuclear proof bunker under Salisbury, one of the decamped Salisbury plane bases. So somebody on one half has an idea of my history, somebody on another half has an idea of history, and one wonders whether they could project the future and know what would happen. About spacecraft, it depends. Many people will have been on an alien spacecraft, and those that remember it will maybe not have the tour, because each different race has a different form of motive power, different weapons, different shape of craft. I earlier talked about the black triangular craft. The humans and government have them. They are back engineered, what we call the first generation triangles. They're very squashed, cramped, and very uncomfortable to be in. The craft that I'm more familiar with are actually teardrop shaped, and there's some interesting artwork in medieval paintings and tapestries which show teardrop shaped craft, although they're just representations, just like a cockpit. The interesting carving in one of the South American temples shows a guy which appears to be in a spacecraft. So my experiences of them are, I grew up in a Victorian house and there was always a lot of dust. Craft that I've been in have no dust. They have no observable lighting. Everything is seamless. The furniture, we have furniture here, this furniture has grown as the craft was created molecule by molecule in a tank. The furniture has actually grown, so it morphs with it. There's no solder lines, no joints. The control panels, it always made me laugh with Star Trek, because with Star Trek, they sit and press buttons. So if you're doing 7 or 8 times the speed of light, and the captain says, all stop, and you do the stop buttons, you're literally millions of miles past where you're supposed to stop. So you cannot control a craft at those sort of speeds physically. You have to control it through your nerve endings and your mind. That's why on all main alien spacecraft, the pilot's chair is usually positioned in the centre, just like Star Trek, or at the very back. The Americans call it driving in the back of the bus. The back of the bus. And just like the Matrix, you are plugged in. You are energetically and neuron plugged into the computer that controls the craft, so that you can think. But you can't think as we think, because if you think as we think, you just send the craft absolutely crazy like that. So you have to be in a different mindset. And some of the operators use just touch. So again, we've got sort of it where you press a screen, computer screen, and you can move it. But what we don't have is where you put your finger on the screen and then you think and your connections are there and you can actually control and converse with the computer. Not all alien races have that. These are races that are extra dimensional, because as I've said on a couple of occasions, if you have only 5 or 6 strands of DNA, then you can't travel at more than 3 or 4 times the speed of light. And that's why humans are invaluable to alien species who are negative, because we have the potential for having 12 strands of DNA, which means you have the potentiality to pilot a spacecraft at many times the speed of light. That's why reptilians don't come to us through normal time, because they couldn't. Even they would be dead, cloning their bodies. So they've created portal technology, because they can't travel more than 3 or 4 times the speed of light. So in order to get places, they use portals. And one of the interesting things for humans is this metagene, the ability to take a human and get that human to see into the future and do other things with it. So my time on spacecraft is limited, but my time on bases here is greater. And where did I go? I saw one planet, and I couldn't tell you what the name of it was. I've seen a base underwater, but I've seen most bases in this, not this country, but in certainly a couple of continents. And this was in the, between the 70s and the 80s.
Okay.
Hi. Thank you for sharing valuable and unique information and attracting so many like-minded people to this place and to Whitby and others. My question is, what people can do as their first step to change the situation, and what are the priorities?
Right, thanks Alex. Alex is the UK's coordinator for Connecting Consciousness. Thank you for travelling up from London. Right, really change your diet straight away. I perceive in the next few months some very big changes to our food. Please change your diet. Watch out for bottled water. It's now containing fluoride, though they still have to show it. So please watch that. So if you can change your diet, you're going to make yourself stronger. I would suggest that you go down to a reputable health food shop and start buying in a few months' supply of vitamins. No harm in doing that. I know for a fact, 2 years ago, the final vitamin factory was built in what was Eastern Europe, part of the old Russian group. And if you are a member of the elite or you work for the elite, you're given a number and you can order vitamins online, because you, as a member of the elite or a member working for the elite, can't be fainting at work because the food doesn't have any goodness in it. So they've set up a number of vitamin factories to provide vitamin supplements for their workers. And they were always going to wait for them to be completely built before they then went with the next operation, which was to totally remove any goodness from food. So again, it's not we're going to put you against a wall and shoot you. Lots of stories of guillotines on trains, etc., etc. That's not how they're going to do it. Because there's billions of us and just thousands of them. So how they're going to do it is gradually in their mind, to try to wear people down gradually so that you just do the work for them. That's why I said to you earlier, you have to be sure of who you are and resist it. Because they can only do it if we let them. That's the reality. We're talking about demons that come through from the fourth dimension to the third. They only come through if you let them or you call them. These things can only do if you give them the authority to do it. And they just trick people, so they do it the same way. So what I want you to do is to improve your diet. I want you to try to minimize your connection to Wi-Fi. We need it, so move it to another part of the room or the house. Try to reduce that. Organize is a really good thing to have. Have some of that nearby where you have your computer. Try to hold your mobile phone further away from your ear. All of the things that we talked about 10 years ago and suddenly now are being held back and we don't repeat them. Always wash your fruit and vegetables from the supermarket. The easiest way to poison people is to spray chemicals 2 days before you pull the crop up. The supermarket's actually now putting labels out saying wash them because they don't want to be sued in the courts. So please do that. In terms of yourselves, protect yourselves, first of all, psychically and energetically. Do not buy into the lies that are coming out. Don't panic. Just remain calm. Remember what we're expecting. We're expecting the internet to come down. We're expecting the mobile phone network to be turned off, Skype to go down, and you will all feel isolated. But you're not. Ride out the storm. Okay, for those of you who are aware, a month ago now, Skype was taken down for a whole day right across the planet. And then 2 weeks after that, Facebook went down for half a day right across the planet. We're expecting the mobile phone or the cell network to be taken down for 10 minutes right across the planet. Once they've done that, then they know that they can shut everything down. And you may be absolutely amazed to know that CNN and Fox News wish to buy out the BBC. Simply because then you would have one newscaster for America and Britain. And I don't want to upset our European friends, and I mean that genuinely. There are two very important countries. There are three, but there are two very important countries. One is the United States, where the physical action will be decided, and the other is this country, where the energetic action will be decided. Britain and America are two very important countries. From the European point of view, Germany is the next important. But if America and Britain swing one way, then that will dictate how we go. So it's very important. So everybody who's alive today is privileged, but is also challenged, because we have to decide what our role is and what we're going to do. Okay.
That seems a good time to end, because it's half past five.
Okay, well, let me just very quickly say thank you to everybody. It's really kind of you to make the effort. Now, I know some of you have come from abroad, some of you have flown a long way, so I would like you to come up, make sure that you, I want to try and talk to everybody. It doesn't matter whether you've come 5 minutes or 500,000 miles. What I'd like you to do is just to come up and say hello. We can turn the mics off and just have a quick chat. But if you have travelled and by an aeroplane to come and see me today, then you deserve 5 minutes time with me, because I appreciate how difficult it is, and you've just travelled a long distance to come and see me for one day. So first of all, you know, and I mean it when I say God bless you, because there is a God. The aliens have told me there's a God. And the great thing is that they know as little or as much about the Creator as we do. But they just call it the divine creator. They don't call the creature God, just the divine creator. So there is a force out there. There is a force that we're connected to, as long as we wish it to be. So we're going to go through the holiday period. Enjoy yourself, have fun. Just because we are of a different mindset doesn't mean that we can't interact and be part of the world. We have to be. That's why we're in a physical body. But just remember, there's something about you that woke you up. There's something about you that sets you slightly differently from those who don't listen or understand. It's not about you being better. It's about you are ahead of the race. So let's hope these other people can catch up. So listen, thank you very much indeed. It's been really lovely to see you. And do come up and have a chat. Thank you.